Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Thursday, December the 22nd, 2016. We are going to finish up the book of 2 Samuel today with chapters 23 and 24. That will be the end of that book. And then tomorrow, on Friday, we will begin in Kings, 1 Kings, chapters 1 and 2 on Friday. So let's jump right into this. We start out chapter 23 with Dawid's last words. Now, the story isn't going to end with this. It'll continue on into Kings. But this is what is in chapter 23. Let me get a hit of coffee here. Oh, that's lovely. Verse 1 of chapter 23. Now these are the words of Dawid at the last. Now that's 314, at the last is one word. Ha-acharonim. The utterance, 5002, Neum, of Dawid, son of Yishai, the utterance of the man raised on high, the anointed of Elohe, that means the God of, Jacob, Israel, the beautiful 5273, Song 2158 of Israel. And verses 2 through 7 are an actual song by Dawid. Had to clear the pipes again. Verse 2. The Spirit of Yahweh spoke by me, and his word, 4405, Umilatho, was upon my tongue. Said Elohe Israel, that's the God of Israel, the rock of Israel spoke to me, and rock here refers to King Dawid. He that rules over Adam, 120, justly, 6662, ruling in reverence, 3374, of Elohim, is as the light of the morning at sunrise, a morning without clouds, as grass from the ground, from clear brightness, 5051, from rain, 4306. Is not my house so with El, 410, that's the divine being. He has made with me an everlasting covenant, setting in order all, and guarded. Will he not make to grow, 6779, all my prosperity, 3468, and All My Desires, 2656. All right, note verse 5 is totally different from the verse 5 in the King James Version. He doesn't say what they say there. This is completely different. They've fouled it up terribly. Verse 6, but Belial shall all be as thorn, 6975, thrust away, 5074, because none will take them in their hand. Well, Belial is 1100, and that means the worthless people. Now, let's stop here for a second. This can apply to modern Jewry today because they are worthless people and they are thorns thrust away because none will take them in their hand. Nobody wants them. Continuing on in verse 7, and listen to this. But the man that touches them must be filled, 4390, with iron, 1270, and the pole, 6086, of a spear. And filled is armed. And they shall be utterly burned, 8313, doubled for emphatic use, with fire on the same site, 7675. Now, what is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10 say? Yeshua is coming back with flaming fire to burn all these people. Okay, that's prophecy right there from Dawid. And that ends his song. Now, we're going to get into verse 8, and verses 8 through 39 is the same as 1 Chronicles 11, verses 10 through 47. Verse 8, these are the names of the mighty men of Dawid. That's his personal bodyguard and chief warriors, okay? Yoshev Bashebeth, 3429. Atachamoni, 8461, chief among the officers. The same is Adino, 5722. The Etzeni, 6112. And Adino is the name of the same man. He's talking about the same guy. Against 800 slain at one time. He killed 800 people in a battle by himself. That's one tough dude. Verse 9. After him was Eleazar, 499, the son of Dodo, 1734, the son of Akoki, 266. One of the three mighty men with Dawid when they reproached, 2778, the Pelishtim, gathered there for battle. The men of Israel took themselves away. In other words, they ran. Verse 10, but he rose up and smote the Pelishtim until his hand was weary and his hand stuck, 1692, to the sword. You know, from blood it got sticky, it just stuck to the sword. Yahweh made a great victory, 8668, that day. And the people returned after him only to plunder, 6584. In other words, they didn't fight, they just came to plunder. He did the fighting. They ran. Verse 11. After him was Shammah, the son of Agee, 89. the Arari 2943. The Pelishtim were gathered into a company, 2416, and that's an odd use of that here. Where was a plot, 2513, of ground, that's a tilled field, full of lentils. And the people fled from before the Pelishtim. Verse 12, he took a stand, 3320, in the midst of the plot and delivered it. In other words, he defended it, 5337, and smote the Pelishtim. Verse 12 ends with, so Yahweh made a great victory. Verse 13, well, verses 13 through 17, you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. Pardon me while I get a little more coffee. Oh, yes. Verse 13, three of the 30 chiefs went forth and came to Dawud in the time of harvest to the cave of Adullam. And the company of Pelishtim camped in the valley of Rephaim, 7497. That's the valley of the giants. Verse 14, Dawud was then in a stronghold, and the garrison, 4673, of Pelishtim was then in Bethlehem. That's Bethlehem in the territory of Yehuda, and that's the house of bread. Verse 15, Dawud craved 183 and said, oh, that I had a drink of the water of the cistern, 953, of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And there is no record of a well being there. So cistern is the correct translation here. Verse 16. The three mighty men broke through the camp of the Pelishtim and drew water from the cistern of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took and brought it to Dawud, but he would, 14, not drink of it, but poured it out, 5258, to Yahweh. And here's verse 17, and you can reference fourth Maccabees, chapter 3, verse 15. Boy, I got my tongue tied. Said he, far be it, 2486, from me, O Yahweh, from doing this. The blood of the men that went at the risk of life? So he really honored them and would not drink of it. So he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. They just acted on the fact that, boy, I wish I had a drink of that water. Well, they went and got him one. He says, man, you risked your life. I can't drink this. This is holy water. And he dedicated and consecrated it and poured it out to Yahweh. He said, praise Yahweh. Verse 18, Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Tseruiah, was chief among three. And he roused up, 5782, his spear against 300, slew them, and had the name among the three as the top man. He had the name of the top guy. Verse 19, because of the most honor of the three, he was their leader, but did not come to the three. In other words, he had two other guys with him, and the three of them were mighty, but they weren't as mighty as the first three. Here's verse 20. And you can reference 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 22 for this verse. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, 6069, abounding in 7227 deeds, 6467. He smote two sons of Ariel, 739, of Moab. He went down and smote a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day, 7950, snowy day. He went down and killed a lion all by himself. Verse 21. And he smote a man of Mitzri, 4713, of good appearance. That's an Egyptian. And the Mitzri had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff, 7626, and took by force, 1497, the spear from the hand of the Mitzri and smote him with his own spear. Okay, now, note here in this verse, 1 Chronicles 11:23 reads differently in describing the Egyptian. So there's a little difference there. Verse 22, these did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. They all went out in threes. Verse 23. He was most honored of the 30, but came not to the three. Dawud set him over his bodyguards. In other words, he was very mighty and very honored, but he wasn't as powerful as the first three we read about. Verse 24. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Remember, he was killed by Abner. Elkanah, the son of Dodo, of Beth Lahem. Verse 25. Shama, the Karodi, 2733. Elika, that's E-L-I-Y-Q-A. 470, the Karodi, that's Haradite. And I need another drink of coffee here, just a second. All right, let's see, where was I here? Verse 26, Keletz, 2503, the Palti, 6407, Erah, the son of Ikesh, 6142, the Tekoi, verse 27, Abiezer, the Anathoti, 6069, Mebunai, 4012, the Kushathi. Verse 28, Salmon, 6756, the Akoki, 266, Maharai, 4121, the Netophathi, 5200. Verse 29, Caleb, 2460, the son of Baana, a Netophathi, Ittai, the son of Rebi, 7380, from Gibeah of the children of Benjamin. He was a Benjaminite. Verse 30, Benaiah the Pirathoni, 6553, Hiddai, 1914, of Nakali Gaash, and that is 5158 and 1608 combined, and that means Nachali Ga'ash means the brooks of Ga'ash. Verse 31, Abi Albon, 45, the Arbathi, 6164, Asmaweth, the Barkumi, 1273. And in verse 30, the Biniyahu is a different man from the Biniyahu in verse 20. Again, they had people with the same name, you know, like John or Bill or Bob or whatever. They had the same first name, but you have to go by the father to get the lineage. And they have them all grouped together. There were two of the giants called Goliath, you know, Goliath, two of them. Verse 32, Elikaba, 455, the Sha'alboni, 8170, of the sons of Yashen, 3464, the Sha'alboni of the sons of Yashen, Jonathan, 3129. And 1 Chronicles 11:34 has the son of Shagai, the Harari, after Jonathan. So that's missing in the book of Shemuel, but it is in the book of 1 Chronicles when they go through the same thing again. There's few differences. Some stuff is left out, some stuff is added. They're pretty much a copy. Verse 33, Shama the Harari, 2043. Akiyam, 279, the son of Sharar, 8325, the Harari. That's a Hararite in your King James. Verse 34, Eliphelet, the son of Akashbai, Akasbai. It's a sin, not a shin. Sorry. The son of the Ma'akathi, 4602. Eliam, the son of Akitophel, the Giloni. And in verse 33, Shama is a different man from the one in verse 25. Got a different lineage, but the same name. Like I said, they repeat these names, but they're different people. They're just called by the same name. Verse 35, Ketzrai, 2695, the Carmeli, there's a Carmelite. Pa'arai, 6474, the Arbi, 701, that's an Arbite in your King James. Verse 36, Yigal, 3008, the son of Natan of Soba. Bani, 1137, B-A-N-I-Y, the Gadi, as the Gadite, 1435. Selek, 6768, the Ammoni. Nakarai, 5171, the Be'erothi, 886, armor bearer to Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Okay, that's who he was. Verse 38, Ira, a Yithri, 3505, that's an Ithrite. Gareb, 1619, a Yithri. Verse 39, Uriah the Hittite, 37 in all. Remember, verse 20 and 21 are worded differently in 1 Chronicles 11, 22 and 23. It takes a while to get my lungs clear, but they're clearing up now. That ends chapter 23. Now we're going to get into chapter 24, and this is the last chapter of the second book of Shemuel, and it ends the books of Shemuel. And then we will begin in Kings on the morrow. So, chapter 24, verse 1, and chapter 24, pardon me, is pretty much identical with 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. So 24 equals 1 Chronicles 21. Again, the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and he incited, 5:4-9:6, incited Dawid against them to say, go. Number 4:4-8:7, that's Mene, Israel and Yehuda. Verse 2, said the king to Joab, the commander of the army which was with him, go, 7:7-5:1, that means here, it means to wander, now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Be'er Sheba, and number 6:4-8:5, that's Pikedu, to muster or number troops, that I know the number 4557 of the people. 4557 is Mispar, as an exact count of how many warriors he had. He wasn't going to number the women and children. He was going to number the men capable of going to war. Verse 3. Said Joab to the king, now Yahweh Eloheka, and that means your God, add 3254 to the people the like of themselves 100 times, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing? He asked him, why do you want to do this? I need to drink that coffee before it gets cold, and it's working on it. Verse 4. The king's word prevailed over Joab and over the captains of the army. In other words, his word was law. He said, go do it. Why do you want to do this? Because I said so. Go do it. So Joab and the captains of the army went forth from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. Now they're talking about the men. Verse 5. They passed over the Jordan and camped in Aroer, on the right side of the city that lies in the midst of the Wadi of Gad, G-A-D, same as the tribe, toward Yazer, Y-A-Z-E-R. Verse 6, then they came to Gilead, then to the land of Tachtim Kodshi, 8:4-8:3. And the meaning of Tachtim Kodshi is unclear. That's just the name as it is in the Hebrew, and we don't know what it means. They've lost the meaning of that. I mean, Tachtim means under, and Kodshi, we don't know what it is. might be Kodeshi, under the holiness or something like that, but we don't know because they've lost the exact spelling of it. And without that, we can't really tell. So that's one of the unknowns in the scripture. And they came to Dana Ya'an, 1842. And that place is unknown. We don't have a good historical record of where that was. And this text here is considered corrupt because of the lost meanings. And around to Sidon. Verse 7. And came to the stronghold of Zoar, T-S-O-R, not Z-O-A-R, and to all the cities of the Kiwi, 2340, those are the Hivites, and of the Kenani, and they went forth to the Negeb of Yehuda, to Be'er Sheba, that's the well of Sheba. Verse 8, so when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Verse 9. Joab gave the sum, 4557, of the number of the people to the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Yehuda were 500,000 men. That's a split. See, they're numbering Israel different than Yehuda. The split is already fomenting. They've had problems. Now, these were troop numbers only. Not the general population, because it says quite clearly here, they numbered the valiant men that drew the sword. These were warriors only. Verse 10, the heart of David smote him. In other words, he regretted doing this. After that, he had numbered 5608 the people. Said David to Yahweh, I have sinned, 2398, to miss the mark of right and duty. I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now please, O Yahweh, take away the iniquity of your servant, because I have acted very foolishly, 5528. Verse 11. When rose up David in the morning, the word of Yahweh came to the prophet God, G-A-D, seer, 2374, that's Kozek, it's a seer of visions. And here he is a named prophet. Seer to David, saying, go and say to David, thus says Yahweh, I offer to you three, choose you one from them, that I may do to you. Verse 13. So God, it's an ah sound. So it's not G-O-D, it's G-A-D, it's a ah. So God came to David, or Gad, if you want to do it that way, but it's not, it's God. It's an A-H sound, God came to David. There's a number of different A's. There's an ah and an ah. So God came to David and told him and said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? or shall there be 3 days of pestilence? 1698, in your land. Now, come to know and see what word I shall return to him that sent me. And that would be Yahweh. Verse 14. Said Dawud to God, I am in great distress. 6862. Let us fall now into the hand of Yahweh, because his compassion, 7356, is great, and let me not fall into the hand of Adam. Verse 15. So Yahweh set a pestilence upon Israel from morning until the appointed time, and died of the people from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men. Now these were men of the numbered troops. So he lost a bunch of his soldiers. Verse 16, and when the messenger 4397 sent forth his hand on Jerusalem to destroy it, 7843, Yahweh repented, 5162, of the harm, 7451, and he was sorry for the harm, and he had, because it said his compassion is great in verse 14. Well, here's his compassion coming into play. And said to the messenger that destroyed the people, see, this is one of these angels that's coming back with Yeshua, one of these killers. These aren't warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely, cute little cherubs. These are some bad motor scooters now that are coming back when Yeshua comes back, and they're going to destroy all our enemies that have persecuted and killed people of Israel. So this is another example of that. Have faith in Yahweh, brothers and sisters. Yahweh said to the messenger that destroyed the people, it is enough. Drop now your hand. See, all they got to do is point. They don't have to have guns. And we won't either. We're going to be changed. We're going to be immortal. We're not going to be frail so they can shoot us or beat us or do whatever. They're going to waste their time against us because we will be in divine bodies at that point. We won't be mortal men anymore. And they're going to die. Let's just put it that way. And we're going to be in the middle of the battle. So, continuing verse 16, and the messenger of Yahweh was by the threshing floor, 1637, of Arana, 728, the Jebusee. That's a Jebusite, okay? There's some of them that they couldn't drive out of Jerusalem, whose original name was Jebus, because of the Canaanite Jebusites that lived there. Well, they were still there. Some of them. They didn't drive them all out. Another thing we didn't do. Verse 17. Spoke Dawud to Yahweh when he saw the messenger that smote the people and said, Lo, 2009, I have sinned and I have committed iniquity. But these sheep, 6629, and that's figurative of the people. What have they done? He's pleading. He's taken all the sin on himself. Let your hand, please, be against me and against my father's house. He's pleading for the people. Like Moshe pled for the people. Verse 18, and came that day God to Dawud and said to him, go, raise up an altar to Yahweh in the threshing floor of Araunah the Yebusite. And Dawud, according to the saying of God, went up as Yahweh commanded. He was following the command of the prophet. Verse 20, and Araunah looked down, 8259, and saw the king and his servants passing over toward him. And Araunah went forth and prostrated himself before the king with his nose, 639, to the ground. Now, even though he was a Yebusite living in Jerusalem, he was in great awe of Dawud and Yahweh. Wasn't an Israelite, couldn't be an Israelite. Isn't the children of the promise. But he was living there, and you know, it was like everything else. He was in awe. Verse 21, and said Araunah, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And said Dawud, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to Yahweh, that the plague, 4046, may be restrained, 6113, from upon the people. Verse 22. And said Araunah to Dawud, let my lord the king take and offer up what is good in his eyes. Behold, oxen for a burnt sacrifice, and a threshing sledge, 4173, and other implements of the oxen for wood. Verse 23, all these did Araunah as a king gives to a king. Ooh. And said Araunah to the king, Yahweh Elohecha, that's your God. Didn't say my God. He says Yahweh Elohecha. He says Yahweh, your God, accept with favor. 7521. He believed, but he was a pagan Canaanite. Now let's stop right here. Remember when Abraham wanted to buy the field in the cave for a burial spot? And the Hittites said, oh, just take it. And he says, no, I will purchase it. Well, we're going to have the same thing occur right here in verse 24. Said the king to Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy this from you at a price, 4242, nor will I offer up burnt offerings to Yahweh Elohai, that's my God, that cost me nothing, 2600. So Dawud bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. That was a lot of money then. Verse 25, built Dawud an altar to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. So Yahweh was entreated, 6279, for the land, and the plague was restrained from Israel. Shemuel had, that's the end of chapter 24, Shemuel had warned Israel what would happen with a man as the king, and they didn't listen. We don't listen today. His air of arrogance in the numbering of the people cost the lives of 70,000 men. But Yahweh was angry with Israel because Israel itself was sinning, and he used King David to punish him. That ends the book of Shemuel, but I want to do a little synopsis here while I have a couple of minutes. We had the story of Shemuel as a young man, little kid at first, being dedicated to Yahweh, and he grew up, and he not only became a priest, but a prophet, and a great man. And Yahweh used him in many instances, all kinds of different ways to use him, prophesying, warning Israel, anointing kings. He warned Israel what was going to happen if they had a king. They didn't want to listen. Okay, here we are today, and we are ruled by a president here in the United States, and actually prime ministers over in Great Britain, but they have a queen, so that's a monarch. That's one of the few nations that still has a monarch, and you can see what's happening over in Great Britain. You can see what's happening here with the unrighteousness and the flood of immigrants. And that's mentioned in David, the floods. It always means people. That's a figure of speech for people. We're being flooded by non-Israelites into our Israelite nations. This is foretold. We have been disobedient, and people like myself and Eli James and David James and all the guys on EFR and some of the other Christian identity networks are trying to get people to come back to the pure worship of Yahweh. We're exhorting to righteousness. I'm an expert on sin because I was so good at it. I am not holding myself up as a pedestal. Do not use me as an example. Use Yeshua Messiah as the example on how to live and how to act. I try my very, very best, but I'm still an Adam and I still make mistakes. Shame on me. Okay? I understand this, and I work really, really hard, and because my intentions and my heart is with Yahweh, and I don't think much of myself because I know what a rotten individual I have been, He has blessed me, and He has forgiven me through Yeshua Messiah, and He's put me on a new path in my life and completely changed my life. Not me, Him. I just quit resisting and turned myself over to Him. And that's what everybody has to do. Put yourself aside and serve Yahweh. Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul. And quit living in the way of the world and live in His way. And that's what I've had to do. I've had to just absolutely abandon the world. I just don't care about anything. Don't care about stuff. So what's he do to me? He gives me all this stuff that I didn't ask for. But He's blessed me with all this computer equipment through Eli James. And now I've saved enough money from my meager income that I'm going to get a brand new state-of-the-art computer the first week in January. I mean, I'm going to get it's going to be a super-duper computer because I need one. These old dinosaurs are a little slow. I'm doing all right. This I'm going to keep this particular computer I'm on right now because all it's set up for is broadcasting. The other one is going to be for general purpose work and typing and publishing all my my translations of scripture. I've got to catch up on that. I'm in the middle of typing Deuteronomy and computerizing that, and then those are posted on Anglo-Saxon Israel under Anderson's Old Testament. So I've got everything through Numbers done. I'm typing up Deuteronomy. Then I've got to go through Joshua and Judges and Ruth and then all the Samuels, first and second. I've got a lot of catching up to do, but I'm doing so many radio shows. I'm doing five of my own, and I co-host twice with Eli. So I'm doing seven shows a week. And trying to live too. I gotta sleep sometime. I gotta keep myself and my apartment clean. Gotta go shopping. And I just need to go out and walk around every once in a while. You know, at least that. So I have some kind of life, and I need to keep physically fit for what's coming. So, I mean, I go out and I can bust out 5 miles, no problem, out and back. I walk to the store instead of ride the bus or get a ride. And I pull my little cart behind me when I come home. And I put all this stuff up here and I'm watching what I'm eating and I'm drinking coffee to keep from being overly hungry. And this is what everybody needs to do. You need to get yourself spiritually prepared first. And at the same time, work on your physical preparedness. You need to get go bags and medical supplies and cold weather gear, warm weather gear, a hiking staff, whatever you're going to take with you. I may just publish a list on Eurofolk Radio website of all the stuff I think you need, stuff you wouldn't even think of. But I'm experienced in this. So the main thing is study the Word. Watch what's around you. Be aware of what's going on. Keep yourself apprised, even though the mainstream media lies to you with a smile on their face. You can get the news you want. Listen to David James NewsHour. Listen to Eli James. Listen to EFR. There's a lot of stuff on EFR. People are telling you what the real news is. They're going to have a new show called Fake News, and they're going to make light of the mainstream media and all the garbage that they tell us, and are going to do it in a humorous manner. So Paul English and Eli James are going to be doing that, and that will be a hoot because both Eli and Paul have a wonderful sense of humor and can really cut them apart. So I'm looking forward to that. And then next month, we're going to have the inauguration of Donald Trump, if that actually takes place. That's going to be quite possibly very ugly. There might be a lot of violence, so be prepared around that time. If you live in a city where they're going to have all this nonsense, get yourself secured and your family secured, and if you have to take off work for a couple of days, if they're rioting, do so. You can't replace your life. Your family needs you. Don't put yourself or your family at risk, please. We need you in the remnant. And always be praying to Yahweh for a good solution and for his blessings and his mercies on your brothers and sisters in Israel. Pray without ceasing, as they say. So I will be back tomorrow on December the 23rd and we'll begin 1 Kings. So I'm going to cut her a little short and let them put a little music in. I've run all I can run on 2 Samuel. We're done with it. So shalom aleichem, my brothers and sisters, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, beginning the books of the Kings. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.